Shit, shit, shit sandwich.
What the fuck is your problem?
Shut up, you freak!
Thanks, I needed that.
Welcome to the real world.
Our department.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
You are the leading asshole in the state.
Bitch, please.
Pass the duchy, my friends.
Remember, a Jedi can feel the Force flowing through him.
What were you doing when the lights went out?
Birdie, num-num.
Lynch me for what my people have done to your people.
Oh, durka-durka-durka.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room.
Hello, and welcome to Dave and Shecky's Groovy Boob Tube Review. I, of course, am Dave.
And I, of course, am Shecky. And our podcast is all about reviewing things that are currently available on television, on the old boob tube. Stuff that's already been out in the theaters and is probably also available on DVD, but it's definitely available on your television. And this week, we are reviewing
Madagascar. Madagascar? Madagascar. Madagascar.
Indeed. Madagascar.
Madagascar, Fred.
Is that Grady?
We're reviewing Madagascar.
Is that Grady?
That's some sort of a Grady, yeah.
Madagascar.
No, that's Esther Roll. that was like, you went from Grady of Sanford and Son right to Good Times.
James! Oh, James!
Oh, see what happens when we watch TV Land? And that's the television station that has all those shows, is the TV Land. But we are not here to review Sanford and Son or Good Times.
But if you're going with either one, I would suggest Sanford and Son.
Yeah, I would say Sanford and Son because Good Times is just horrible.
Really bad times.
It really is. It's bad times and it's just racist times.
Yeah, it's
bad. It's like an embarrassment.
Exploitation times.
It's totally, it's like a blaxploitation television show. It's horrible. I can't even believe that people had that show on the air. Awful show. Let's get back to the movie.
All right.
Madagascar. Or is it Madagascar?
Madagascar. Madagascar.
I think it's Madagascar.
And then you get into the Madagascar, and then it starts becoming a gas car, which is an automobile, in my mind. And I can't figure it out. So, Madagascar.
Okay. I'm going to agree to say Madagascar.
Well, we have to differ there.
Yes, we do. So, before it was my turn to pick a movie? No, it was your turn.
That's
I picked
correct.
Fantastic Four last week, so this week was your turn. And seemed like there was pretty slim pickings on the pay-per-view.
I was just about to say that. I did pick Madagascar. But it was really, it was, you know, the lesser of two evils or ten evils.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good. Don't get me wrong, but
Don't wait.
Whoa.
Okay, see, this is the problem.
Oh, jeez.
We're not yet into the reviewing stage.
Let me rewind.
We are currently doing the backstory. The backstory portion of this podcast does not include your review.
What were you saying?
And it's like a half hour long podcast for you just to say, oh, it was good. Okay, bye bye. Good night, everybody.
Well, we were just saying it was slim pickings, so that should give you an indication that in our minds it was the best of what we had to choose from. Well, except there's a couple that we might still choose from still, but
yeah, it was in your mind because it was your pick.
Fair enough.
There was just certain things that I was like going to refuse to watch.
Well, you know, I like Chris Rock, David Schwimmer, and what were you saying?
I'm just watching you.
Well, I don't want to go into my. I don't want to jump ahead.
In the Volvo seat.
I'm jumping ahead now.
Well, no, you can say who's in it, but I just didn't want you to blurt out the review.
Gotcha.
And in such a lame and colorless way, it kind of ruins everything for the kids out there.
Sorry.
So, but anyway, you picked Madagascar. It is rated PG, which I thought was kind of interesting. It's not a G-rated movie. It is by the same folks who brought us Shrek and Shrek 2. And it's animated.
Welcome to Madagascar.
Madahoo-ha!
What?
No, not hoo-ha. Aska.
I love animated stuff. And it's very hard to get good animated stuff sometimes, like stuff that's really, really amazing. And I was really impressed right away. Like, as soon as it started, I was like, oh, wow, this looks really pretty.
Yeah, the animation was very good. Wasn't too computerized. It seemed good to me. What I liked about it was, well, the thing about it that struck me was, first of all, like you said, it's a PG, so it's like almost weird for a... It's almost weird for an animated film to be PG, because it's... I'm not sure what kind of market you're really going for there. So, I mean, when you start having, you know, sort of like innuendo about racism and stuff like that, it's above the heads of kids. And I guess it plays to people who are older, but then is it really hip enough for that crowd? So, I don't know. It kind of fell in between at that point. So, but what I'm saying is, the thing that struck me is, like, I like it. Chris Rock's voice is so recognizable. So right away, you know Chris Rock. It took me about 5 minutes to realize that David Schwimmer was the giraffe. And that was good. Because for me, I liked it more when I knew the voices behind it. It gave it some sort of more character for me. Ben Stiller, of course, as the lion, was pretty good. And, you know, and then they got...
Oh, here it goes.
And then they got Jada Pinkett Smith as the unidentifiable overweight hippo.
Yeah, and I saw you wrote something very interesting down on your notepad concerning Jada Pinkett Smith.
Well, it was obvious to me that they wanted Queen Latifah for the part, but she just wouldn't do it because it was degrading to her or something, or she wasn't available because she was in whatever the hell she does over there. But because Jada Pinkett Smith, I mean, her voice is unrecognizable, and she's like a nobody at this point. Why her?
Well, I wouldn't say she's a nobody.
All right.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, maybe they wanted Will Smith, and then he said, you got to use her, otherwise I'm not doing the next big thing that I want.
Well, they also did do that. I think that's the movie they did where he's the Shark Tales.
Aha! She's a pawn. I popped my piece. She's a pawn, I tell you. Because... anyone could have done that. Michael Chiklis could have done a better job in that role.
Right? As the female hippopotamus?
Exactly.
You think Michael Chiklis would be a better female hippopotamus than Jada Pinkett Smith? Is that what you just said?
I don't even... You know what? Yeah, I did.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding you properly.
You can quote me on that.
All right, then.
Or your quote as based on my opinion. That is true. And, you know, I don't even know about why that was the weak link. The hippopotamus, I didn't even like that character.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, there were so many other ways they could have gone.
Was it because you were turned off by the voice? Because the I don't understand why you didn't like the character.
I don't know. She was... Oh, no. Maybe they wanted Rosie O'Donnell for it. And that would have really annoyed the hell out of me.
Why?
Because she's annoying. A very annoying person.
You think so?
I do. I'm very, very...
So you are... That's interesting, because you are turned off by the voices. It hampered your ability to enjoy fully that character?
No, and that's the thing. It wasn't... She did it good. Jada Pinkett Smith played the role good, I think could have been better. And I think it should have been someone who as a voice was much more identifiable. It should have been Ellen DeGeneres or something like that.
Well, she had just done Nemo.
Well, do some more. She's got to do more.
All right. I think I hear you.
Someone whose voice is recognizable. Jada Pinkett Smith's voice is not recognizable.
What about Rosie Perez?
Much better choice.
Are you kidding me? See, that would have made me turn it off immediately.
All right, we'll see you.
Her voice is recognizable, but it's what something that gives me a migraine.
Lynn Samuels would have been good.
Oh my God, Lynn Samuels from WABC. Maybe you can go to lynnsamuels.com and download some of her voice.
Just don't download her picture.
Oh, Dave. Now, what if someone said that about me?
They'd have problems. We'd have some problems then. They're going to decide.
Everybody loves somebody, and there's somebody for everyone. Let's not make fun of the way people look.
All right. Fair enough, Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby?
What?
Why would you make fun of Bing Crosby?
I'm not. It sounded like a song you were singing there for a second. Everybody loves somebody somewhere.
Let me just say something right now. There will probably never be a reason for me to sing on this podcast.
All right.
Because we want people to continue to listen.
That's true.
We don't want to drive them away.
Yeah, light, funny banter.
Light, funny banter, not bad Shecky singing.
So anyway, the hippopotamus.
So you had issues with the hippopotamus? I didn't realize.
The hippopotamus was okay, but it was just like a throwaway. You know, the hippopotamus to me was like a filler on an album. Like there's like, you know, seven tunes, and you know, five of the tunes were really, or three or four, or four of the tunes were good, but then three of the tunes were just like filler. And she was three of those tunes.
Really?
Yeah. I could have, you know, I don't know.
What was it about, was it the way that she was, she too black? Was it too stereotypical?
The only thing I liked about the hippo was when she had the clams or whatever the hell on her breasts and vagina area there. That was amusing. But other than that, she was uneventful.
At some point in the movie, she's on an island and she comes out of the water and there's two clam shells as bikini top and a actual crab down below as a bikini bottom. And there it just and it's on for just a second. If you blink, you miss it. That's the best part of her character for you?
Yeah, I think so.
Very
that's
interesting.
We can't remember much else about her.
Well, I think she's a secondary character. I mean, I think the main character is Chris Rock.
Wanda Sykes.
Okay. You got me. I love Wanda Sykes. I think the world loves Wanda Sykes.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
She
wasn't even. When she ever anything with a voice?
Actually, I think she sings in a metal band. I think she's on that. I think that's her. That she's on the Ozzy Osbourne tour.
Are you kidding me?
What's that Ozzy Osbourne tour called?
Ozfest.
Ozfest. I believe she is in that. She tours in a metal band.
All right.
So
well,
I mean,
I give her props for that.
There you go.
I'm not saying she's a slouch. I'm just saying her voice is not recognizable, and it doesn't give you... Chris Rock?
So you're saying that Michael Chiklis' voice is more recognizable to you? You would recognize his voice anywhere.
No. That's my example saying that he's not... He would be a poor choice just as she is a poor choice.
But you said he was a better choice.
Well,
but still poor.
Just as poor. Pretty poor.
See, I didn't realize you felt this strongly because in your notepad...
I don't mind. It was just...
In your notepad, Dave,
yes.
What you wrote about this was Wanted Latifah.
Well,
and
true.
With those two words, I thought, okay, he has something to say, but...
Well, because
clearly,
the hippo looked like Queen Latifah.
What? No, that is wrong.
And then they had a black woman doing the voice, so I was like, well, they probably had Queen Latifah in mind when they wrote this part.
I really didn't... I didn't think the hippo looked like a black woman.
Well, no, me neither, but it would look like an overweight person.
You just said it looked like a black woman.
No, I think what I meant to say was, I'm not sure if I said that. What I meant to say was, it looked like an overweight woman, and then they had a black woman doing the voice. So I think in their mind, when they wrote the hippopotamus part, they were envisioning a black woman, and they couldn't get the black woman they wanted, so they got another black woman. That's where they went astray. They took a right turn to Jada Pinkett Smith when it should have gone straight down Latifah Highway.
Okay. But then, I mean, I don't think it matters in a cartoon character.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Or an animated character.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, Jada Pinkett Smith is tiny.
I mean, they could have made the hippopotamus a guy at that point. Why was it
the
even
hippopotamus?
A woman? The hippopotamus could be a guy over here.
No, they couldn't have been a guy because then they'd have four guys. It'd be four animated zoo characters.
Why not?
They needed a woman.
And then they could have been on a hunt for, like, you know, some women or something.
No.
Could have gone out clubbing.
Okay, then all of a sudden it's an X-rated animated tale and it's...
Well, that's the... It brings me to topic two.
Okay.
What's the market they're going for? And if they're going for an adult or a teenage market, well, let's get more racy. Over there.
What do you mean more racy?
You know, I'm just saying that the jokes could have been a little bit more, you know, They could have just been pushing it a little bit more.
What are you talking about? Look, you are a madman.
It's either rated G or it's rated fucking R, but this PG shit just makes it, you know, lands you in blah land.
Well, I think PG is you can say anything except fuck.
I don't think they said shit, did they?
I don't.
And I thought there were a couple of times when they could have said it, actually.
I don't know. I don't remember stuff like that.
Some of the humor could have been racier. It could have been a little more blue.
But it's, I mean, it's a family movie.
Well, there you go. See, and if it's a family movie, what are you doing counting black and white stripes? Why you got to put that into the head of kids? The zebra doesn't know if he's black or white.
He just made that up.
That's a stupid joke.
He made that up because he was, it was supposed to.
Made it up.
He was just about to bite. Okay, let's just stop
no,
one second.
But
let's stop.
The zebra referenced
halt.
That.
Halt. If I had a whistle, I'd blow it here.
All right, I'll listen to you. What are you saying?
I'm just saying, let's get into what the plot is, because we've sort of jumped into the middle of things.
Gotcha.
We went off on the Grady and Esterol tangent at the very beginning, and then we just kind of slammed right into the hippopotamus thing, which you have very strong feelings about, apparently, but we haven't really described what the movie is.
Okay, go back then.
The movie is a story of Chris Rock's character, Marty.
Exactly.
Marty the zebra, who is an exhibition at the Central Park Zoo, as are these other characters, Alex the Lion, played by Ben Stiller, the hippopotamus, as we are now going to call it, portrayed by Jada Pinkett Smith, and Melman the Giraffe, by David Schwimmer, and they're all in this zoo together. It is Chris Rock's zebra's character. It's his birthday. He's 10. And what he wishes for is to go out into the wild. And through some crazy antics that lead them all over the city and eventually to Grand Central Station, they wind up on a boat that, they're on a boat. They wind up getting tossed off the boat in their crates, and the crates land on this island. And that's where... You know, then they spend their time trying to, get back or get off the island.
Well, yeah, they all have different takes on it.
Right.
See, Marty was having a bit of a midlife crisis.
Yes, he
because
was.
Because supposedly his half of his life was over. So he was having a midlife crisis. And that's when he actually says in the first place that he doesn't know if he's a black zebra or a white zebra with white, black stripes, blah, 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 blah. And then they go back to that reference again later in the movie.
Right.
So if you can turn to page 33 in the textbook, and the white stripes, Jack Black, Jack White. No, but seriously. yeah, so they all have different takes on, Marty's kind of like into the wild. He doesn't really want to go necessarily. Now, Alex the Lion, who had everything going for him at the zoo, is very upset that he has now lost his spectacle. He's not the center of the people's attention anymore. And he really wants to get back.
Yeah.
The hippopotamus, once again, is kind of ambivalent as far as I could tell. And the giraffe never wanted to go in the first place because he is extremely nervous, as he is a nervous Jew.
He's a hypochondriac, nervous Jewish giraffe.
His name is Melman.
I love that.
It must be his last name, but they just call him Melman.
Melman.
Perfect.
It might be an homage to Larry Bud Melman. You never know.
That was good.
But, they land on this island, and we don't actually, the name of the movie is Madagascar, and the only reference to Madagascar in the whole thing is that there is a crashed plane on the island that says, like, Madagascar Express or something.
Right.
And the plane could have crashed anywhere between two points. So they're calling it Madagascar. When they land on this island, they basically come upon this whole population of lemurs these partying, dancing lemurs. And the lemur king, I believe his name is Julian, is played by...
Ali G.
You love Ali G, don't you?
I do like Ali G. I think he's very witty, very... he's a cutting-edge guy, very good. Yep.
Ali G. And his real name is what? Sasha...
Sacha Baron Cohen.
It's so funny because when I saw in the credits, in the opening credits, Sacha Baron Cohen, there's an ice skater named Sacha Cohen. I was like, oh, she's ice skating and she's doing voiceovers. And you're like, oh, you know who that is. And I'm like, and I was about to say, yeah, the ice skater. And you're like, Ali G. And I was like, oh.
Ice skater.
I know. I thought it was like the weirdest thing. Sacha Cohen was getting like top billing in an animated movie. I couldn't believe it.
She's crossing over.
She's crossing over. That's very funny. But the lemurs are very cute.
Very good. Well, you got to give it up because the head guy talked like he had an Indian voice.
Yeah, it's true.
It's very good. Everybody loves a funny Indian. And I'm telling you, that's good, good stuff.
Now, for as long as we can remember... We have been attacked and eaten by the dreaded Fusa.
The Fusa! The Fusa are attacking!
It's a cookbook!
Right.
It's a cookbook!
Please, Marie.
Shh, quiet!
Come on, y'all. They're not attacking us this very instant.
So, my genius plan is this. We will make the New York Giants our friends and keep them close. Then, with Mr. Alex protecting us, we will be safe and never have to worry about the dreaded Fusa ever again.
You laughed every time the Lemur King spoke. You were just giggling every time you heard that Indian voice.
I like a good Indian imitation.
You must love Peter Sellers, then. The party.
I very much love him.
Which is really, I mean, just to stop everything. I just watched that again the other day because Joanne gave it to us for Christmas.
Okay.
And it's just a giggle fest. That's a really great movie. But
excellente.
But anywho, so in Madagascar...
The lemurs.
The lemurs are, you know, they're afraid of these other four-legged carnivore-type animals. What were they calling them? Fusas?
Fusa, for
I
whatever
guess,
reason.
I don't know what the hell a fusa is.
That was some sort of weird G-rating thing there. I don't know what the hell that was.
What are you talking about?
All of a sudden, was the music done by Danny Elfman or something? Because it started to get a little Elfman-ish.
Okay, here you go.
The music, they started, at one point I thought I was in the Charlie and the Chalk Factory with the soundtrack.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who did the, I don't think so. I think we would have saw his name.
There was like, no, what I'm referring to is that one, they had that one Fusa song, some sort of song. It was like the Fusa theme song, and they were like all dancing around, singing something about Fusa this, Fusa that. It was kind of like Danny Elfman'd up.
See, I couldn't listen to something and say, oh, that's Danny Elfman.
Well.
I can barely listen to something and say, oh, that's John Williams, but I'm pretty good at that.
It reminded me of the Oompa Loompa thing from the new Chocolate Factory.
The new version?
Yeah, which was kind of a nauseating, tedious soundtrack.
And
in my opinion.
Yeah, and we're not going to review the movie because we...
Yeah, fuck that movie, yo.
there's just no reason. There was no reason to remake it. As much as I love Johnny Depp, there just was no reason to remake that movie. If you can't... You shouldn't remake a movie that's already a classic. That's like saying, you know... Let's remake Citizen Kane. Why would you do that?
Yeah, what are you trying to do?
So we're not going to review that. We're reviewing it right now. Don't go see it. Go watch the Gene Wilder version. Much better.
Much better.
Oh, so Gene Wilder. Oh, so great in that role.
Get Blazing Saddles while you're at it.
Yeah. Why don't you exactly? You go home, or you go out to you go to Netflix, or you go to Blockbuster and get. It's Blazing Saddles, Willy Wonka, and what is the other one? Silver Streak?
Silver Streak's good. There's lots of good...
Young Frankenstein?
What, are we talking Gene Wilder?
Yeah, or just... Yeah, that whole... Yeah, exactly.
Gene Wilder. Anything with Gene Wilder.
Yeah. Go ahead and get everything and anything with Gene Wilder. Even that...
What?
Were you going to... What were you... You were going to say something about Hear No Evil, See No Evil?
I was going to say... Even Hear No Evil, See No Evil, but isn't there one after that that's just kind of not that good?
Is it the one where he's like a habitual liar or something? Like from a mental institution?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
And there's that's like... even got moments in it, though.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
But I don't think those are Mel Brooks ones, so if you get a Mel Brook, get a Mel Brooks one.
Brooks.
Mel Brooks ones.
Brooks one. Brook ones.
Hippopotamus.
Get a Mel Brooks ones.
Listen to us for our reviews, not for our grammar.
I like a Mel Brooks ones.
Oh, God, that Grady imitation you did before. It just went right from Grady right into the mom from Good Times. It just went, it was almost on the same word.
All I know is we're watching Sanford and Son, and Grady comes in, and he's so ridiculous.
He steals the show.
I mean, so over the top. I can't even imagine that they were like, I mean, I just don't, I can't imagine. The guy must be lit up.
I don't know if he's ridiculous. I don't know if he's on acid or if the writers just wrote him that way and he was just that great of an actor.
They must have wrote it kind of like that, and he came in and just was over the top, and they were just like losing their minds.
Can you imagine just being like completely high as a writer for that show and having this actor come in, and then you get to write stuff for him? Oh God. He was just...
I mean, if Grady had, like, a stand-up comedy routine nowadays, I think he'd probably be a hit. It was very abstract.
Oh, my God. Grady. Is he dead? I think he died, right?
Oh, that would be a problem.
I think he did die.
So that doesn't really go too good on stage these days.
It's a shame because, I mean, we were just watching Sanford and Son, and it was funny. And then all of a sudden, Grady came in with a magician's outfit on, and I just lost it. I just lost it. He's so fucking ridiculous. Oh God,
That was weird.
Yeah, that was weird. But so back to Madagascar, or Madagascar. I don't know. I think they say Madagascar in the movie.
Sounds more like it.
I would say on a scale from 1 to 10, for me, 8.5, because I was completely entertained by it. I thought the graphics were beautiful. The penguins were adorable. And they had a lot of, like, inside jokes. And, like, they had a lot of, like, inside jokes, like when the lemurs were singing the Fusa song, they show the book to serve lemur, which is, like, such a obscure reference for, it's got to be for people over 30 or really diehard Twilight Zone fans. But, you know, little kids are not going to get that.
And then they also had the little... Planet of the Apes reference.
They had the Planet of the Apes reference.
That was hysterical.
So, I mean, I love little references like that.
Yeah, the movie was thoroughly enjoyable. You know, it was kind of middle of the road, but it was definitely thoroughly enjoyable.
I mean, I saw you laughing and stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it was quite funny.
See, now, this is the problem that we had with Fantastic Four, though.
After I liked it much more than that.
You did like it more than... Okay, on a scale from 1 to 10, what would you give this movie?
Well, now, see, I don't want to put down the animal in any way. Because what do I give the animal?
You give the animal, I think you give it 6 or 6.5.
All right, well, I got to give the animal 6.5. And I'd have to give this...
And we're referencing Rob Schneider's The Animal. Go ahead, Dave.
I'd have to give this a 7.5, but I enjoyed the animal just as much.
Then why would you give this a 7.5? Because it's more effort put into it? Are you recognizing the effort?
I think the animation and the whole effort, yeah, is pretty intense. I think it's a pretty good, heavy production. The animation was really good, and Chris Rock was really good, and David Schwimmer was good, and Ben Stiller was good. So, you know, it was really good.
Chris Rock's voice just cracks me up. As soon as you hear him, you just have to laugh.
Well, all right, I'm going to give this a 7.5, but I'm going to have to raise my official standing of the animal
up
to 7.
Really?
Because I'm a complete moron.
That is like that. You love the animal. And it's really funny. I agree with you. It is hilarious. It's hard, though, when you do a scale from 1 to 10, because there really are so many things that go into considering it.
I'll give The Wedding Singer a 4, and I'll give the animal a 7. So if that helps you out.
Oh, what about Deuce Bigelow?
Deuce Bigelow.
Mangina.
A 6. Six-ish.
So six for Deuce Bigelow. Okay, what about 50? What is it, 50 First Dates?
I'd give that a 7.5.
Yeah, I would give that an 8, actually, because I think that is the best Sandler movie ever.
If you're going to go in that way, that's a good movie for the, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good movie. But Madagascar, I give an 8.5, and I'll tell you what, I actually even like it more than Shrek. Because you know what? When Shrek came out, there was so much hype, even Shrek 2, so much hype around Shrek and Shrek 2. It was insane. And I didn't hear that much hype about this movie. I don't know why, because I thought it was better. I liked the references in it better, and I like the actors better. I love Ben Stiller, and I love Chris Rock, and I do love David Schwimmer. And I don't have the feelings that you have about Jada Pinkett Smith, but I don't hate her.
I don't mind her at all as a person or as an actress.
Or as a heavy metal singer.
Just as a voice without a face, I don't recognize her. I don't recognize her. I don't recognize her. So I would advise her to become more recognizable. No, but what I'm saying is, I like this more than Shrek. This is better than Shrek, but I think Shrek came at a time before a whole string of these after Shrek.
Well, Toy Story was the first one.
Uh-huh.
The Pixar Toy Story.
I like this more than Toy Story.
I like Toy Story as the first big animated thing. It was like really kind of amazing. I just remember watching it on the big screen and thinking, "Holy crap, I can't believe they could do this now." Like, it was almost like, I mean, in our lifetime, when fax machines first came out.
Right.
And you were like, holy there's nothing left to invent. This fax machine here is just amazing. And then, you know, and you saw Toy Story and you're like, ah, like you couldn't believe it. And now it's like, it's not, you know, I mean, Christ, when VCRs first came out, when we were little kids, they were like over $1,000.
True.
So, I mean, It was kind of like that. It was kind of like this new thing when Toy Story came out. So it was really good, but
not to mention Beta. All right, you would get a Beta machine, and that was even more expensive than a VCR.
Yeah, commercially, they still use Beta for like television shows and stuff.
I remember back in the day, you used to go to the video store and you could rent either VHS or Beta.
Yeah, I mean, I think I know one person. I think I've ever only met one person who actually had a Beta machine. That guy, Bruce, I went into the city to get some of his footage that one time, and he had Beta.
Yeah, well, I guess he probably bought it back in the 80s.
But the Beta has much better quality, by the way.
I wonder why it didn't catch on.
I think it's because it was Sony, and Sony likes to, what they like to do is invent stuff. They like to invent, like, mediums and then
hoard it.
And Beta was a Sony only product, and they were the only ones making the machines, you know, and it was just like, you know, you can't do that,
like Replay, and then TiVo comes along and is the big one.
Yeah,
Replay,
exactly.
Was maybe even before,
right? Replay, I think, is older than TiVo, and then TiVo just has that really clever name that people have now just used as like a verb. I TiVo'd that.
Like a Band-Aid.
Like a Kleenex.
Like a George Bush.
This is not a political podcast.
Hey, I didn't say it was good or bad.
Okay.
It's just a brand name.
But it's bad. But let's not get into it.
It's bad, kid.
It's bad, kid. It's bad. So, would you recommend this movie? I didn't see really why it should be a PG. I didn't really see anything that was...
It was pretty G. It was pretty G-ish.
And it did have that really cute lemur that I thought little kids would really just think was adorable. That really big-eyed lemur.
I liked this movie. This movie was funny. I liked when the lion started turning.
Yeah, well, that
started getting a little amusing.
Maybe that's why it's PG. Maybe that's too scary for little kids. Because at some point, Alex the lion, played by Ben Stiller, they're on this island, and he's used to being fed steaks all day. He's at the Central Park Zoo. He's getting served ridiculously fresh steaks all day. And here they are on this island, and no one's handing him steaks. And so all of a sudden, he starts looking at Marty the zebra in a whole new way. And he can't really squash those carnivore ways of his. And he starts going after him.
Excuse me. You're biting my butt.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Oh. Alex, God, what did you do?
You just bit me on the butt.
No, I didn't. Did I?
You kind of did.
You just bit me on the butt. What the heck is wrong with you? Why'd you bite me?
Man, it's because you are his dinner.
What?
Excuse me?
That's dumb.
Come, come, Maurice. What is a simple bite on the buttocks among friends? Here, give me a nibble.
It was quite amusing. And then all of a sudden, he kind of changes. At one scene there, it kind of clicks and he changes. Like, he's chasing him and you see his eyes. He's chasing after Marty and you see his eyes widen and he kind of just like gets that look in his eyes.
And his nails come out.
All of a sudden, he's changed. And then, what was the other scene where he changed?
Just almost right as soon as they get into the wild, because when he roars for lemurs.
That's exactly what I was thinking. He's like, damn, I never heard you do that roar before.
Yeah, exactly.
He becomes a little bit more of a
Becomes king of the jungle. Yeah, he's reverting back to the king of the jungle ways. And, you know, not to spoil it for you or anything, but in the end, they do wind up staying because they really don't have much of a choice. But the Alice the Lion discovers the joys of sushi. And
Yes, that's how they get around the whole I'm going to eat everything on the island that is once my friend.
The only thing I thought was unrealistic was just how they portrayed how these animals were really living the good life in the zoo. You know, like the zoo was this great place that they started from, all except for, you know, Chris Rock's character, who was, you know, he didn't hate the zoo, but he really wanted to go out there and see something more. But it was like, you know, all these animals, they were making it seem like the zoo was this great resort.
Great setup.
When truly any zoo, I mean, except for maybe, then they'd even mention the San Diego Zoo.
I mean, this was the Central Park Zoo, too, which is not, I don't think it's the greatest zoo.
No, the San Diego Zoo is really nice. And even, I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, they're like, this could be San Diego.
Yeah.
What, they thought they were going to the San Diego Zoo? I don't get it.
Well, they had been told that they were getting transferred to a new zoo.
Ah.
To the Kenya Wild Park or something, Wild Animal Park or something. And
they didn't know Kenya was Africa.
No, they didn't know anything. I mean, they didn't really speak the language too well. The only one who could speak the language was the monkey.
Let's not forget there were some penguins, those damn penguins.
And, you know, I heard that most of them were just voiced by the people who actually drew them.
Yeah, see, they should have just done that for the hippo.
I think they should do that. Excuse me. I think they should do that for all characters because, you know, it's only been recently that you have to have, you know, your
stars
voicing these animated characters. And back in the day in Cinderella or Snow White, it wasn't stars.
I hear that. Well, that's even, well, look, that once you have a voice like Chris Rock in there, if you have Chris Rock, then how can anyone else not be just as I mean, you're setting a high recognizable standard at that point.
It's true.
That's
it's
a little
true.
Ridiculous. So it's either all or nothing.
Yeah. I mean,
you got a whiz like Mel Blanc or Billy West, go with it. But nowadays, people don't care unless it's a star.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and maybe more people will go to see a movie if they think, you know.
I mean, how many recognizable stars were there voicing Fantasia?
I don't think there's any. Is there talking in Fantasia?
Oh, well, maybe that's a bad example. Excuse me. Let me just rephrase that. What I meant to say was, see, there's no recognizable stars in Fantasia.
There might be some talking. Maybe Mickey talking while he's doing his spells or whatever.
I haven't seen it recently enough, I guess.
You know, I haven't seen it either recently. I haven't. But that's not the point. Anyway, so, but maybe, you know, maybe these stars bring more people to the box office and make more money.
Definitely do.
I mean, we didn't see it, though, but we don't have kids. I don't see any reason for not taking kids to see this or getting this on your pay-per-view or even buying it for your kids. I would say probably buying it is even a better idea because kids like to watch shit over and over again. They really do.
Yeah, this was entertaining. I don't think it'd be too scary. It was,
There was just some parts where they were first in the paradise or in Madagascar and then all these animals started eating one another. That's kind of scary because there was this one cute little duck
a little baby duckling that they try and save from whatever, and they pick it up and they put it over in its little pond and they set it down, and you're like, and everybody's like, oh, look at the cute duckling, and then an alligator just comes and fucking eats it.
Well, they're on the predator side of the island at that
point. Exactly, but still, that might be a little harsh for like a 4-year-old.
Speaking of harsh, hey, once again, this movie showed the police as being evil. Because at one point, the animals are on the loose, and there's a cop reporting. He says, I just saw a zebra. He's on top of the horse. The zebra asks directions from the horse, and then the cop on the horse is talking on the radio, and he's like, I just saw a zebra. Can I shoot it?
Yeah, a New York City cop.
So, and...
But it was, again, a New York City cop, just as the Fantastic Four was.
Same thing, so...
That's kind of crazy.
Cops, you're getting a bad rap.
The New York City cops, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, just a coincidence.
Nothing to see here, folks.
Just a coincidence. Go back to sleep, America. We're under control.
You are free to do as we tell you. All right. So I think that we have pretty much talked about this and Grady. There's not really much to talk about. Madagascar isn't a very long movie.
It's good. It's a good movie.
It's very well animated. The voice acting is really good. There's some really great little inside humor things.
I mean, we're not breaking any ground here, but it's not a waste of time.
No, I would definitely recommend it. And
it's groovy.
If you don't, if you have kids,
movie.
It was groovy. If you have kids, and they're over 5, I would definitely buy it. And this, like I said, this is one of those things that they will watch over and over and over again. It's very, and it's funny, and it's something you could watch and you would like it, and it's funny. And, should you get it on pay-per-view?
Hey, if you got it, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, but you know what? With the pay-per-view, you're not getting any of the special features or whatever. So you could get it on pay-per-view if you wanted, or you could, might as well wait. If you hadn't seen it yet and you're not dying to see it, you might as well wait for it to be on HBO. But if you have kids, I would buy it.
And don't download it illegally.
No.
Because that would be
Do not
bad.
Go to isohunt.com or mininova.org and download it.
Do not smoke our black incense.
Do not take the brown acid. All right. That's it for this week's edition of Dave and Shecky's Groovy Boob Tube Review. Please, please, please come and visit us at daveandshecky.com. where you can join our mailing list, our spam-free mailing list, that is, or contact Dave or I, or...
Or you never know what we'll find on in... What? What am I supposed to say?
I'm not... You weren't supposed to say anything. I just was taking a breath, but... Feel free to interject.
I thought it was like, and now...
No.
And now the groovy adventures of... Oh, wrong show.
Wrong podcast, but...
Hi there, ho there. What? Oh, sorry.
You're making fun of my podcast.
I'm not. I'm just giving a... Oh, I'm sending out a... What's it called? An homage?
Shout out? Homage?
Yes, maybe that is. I don't know.
a hip epitomous?
Yeah, we got to be hip to be an epitomous.
Okay. So, daveandshecky.com. Go and check our website out, please. Especially the about Dave and Shecky, because we made a beautiful Flash animation.
We? You?
Well, you're in it, though.
You are the Opie of the show.
I'm the Opie of the show. All right. That's it. This is a long show, by the way.
Well, we had a lot to say about a short movie.
Yes, we did. All right, everybody. See you later.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
If you have any poo, fling it now.